in Odessa were themselves hit by a second missile. 14 civilians are dead. This is SRN News.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. Remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpets, where you will find a complete line of Mohawk carpet with exceptionally clean, smart strand fiber. It's always available and ready to be installed. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather!
Well, hi, everybody. With a frontal system approaching, we've got an increasing chance of rain and thunderstorms again today from time to time. Some of the storms strong, possibly severe, especially this afternoon and this evening. Today's high in the upper 70s. The rain will end in the overnight hours tonight. Tonight's low 61. On Saturday, the rain chances are very small during the daytime hours. Saturday's high in the mid-70s. Then another round of scattered showers from time to time on Sunday with a high near 70. Much cooler by Monday. In fact, we could see some patchy frost late Monday night into early Tuesday with lows in the mid-30s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo with Capital Tractor. Spring is time for clearing and cleaning. Time to clean out your shed too. Let go of old, outdated equipment holding you back and visit Capital Tractor to see your property's full potential. Powering Alabama, Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
1819 News.
Governor Ivey awards a total of $54,000 to a nonprofit organization here in Alabama that helps female minors who have been victims of sex trafficking. The money will go to Camille's Place as it provides shelter and care to the victims that are placed there. The grant money will be used to increase security at the facility that includes new lights and cameras and for additional support staff and housing expenses. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Where I was living was not a great place to live anymore. I began to pray for a place to go, praying for all of these things that a nine-year-old would want. I wanted horses, big house with a bunch of people my age. I wanted parents. I wanted a mom and a dad. Before I even prayed it, the Lord had already answered my prayer with the Big Oak Ranch. Who would that nine-year-old be if she never came to the Big Oak Ranch? I would be trying to fight for survival instead of fighting to break a cycle.
Big Oak Ranch, a Christian home for children needing a chance.
A man arrested in March of 2023 for a shooting at the Hangout restaurant in Gulf Shores was granted a reduced bond this week. Rafiq Bradley of Bay Minette was in court to prove that he's not a flight risk. Bradley is facing attempted murder charges as well as reckless endangerment for shooting and injuring another man after an altercation. His initial bond was set at $1 million. However, Baldwin County Circuit Judge Scott Taylor reduced that bond amount to $200,000. That reduction was approved by the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Tuskegee University unveiled a monument this week that is across from the George Washington Carver Hall. It honors Henrietta Lacks and her contribution to the fight against polio. Lacks died in 1951 at the age of 30 from cervical cancer. Her cancer cells were donated to medical research across the world. The Carver Research Foundation ended up using Lacks' cancer cells in the process of creating Dr. Jonas Salk's polio vaccine. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Goodson Group. Selling a home in the River region in this market takes some planning and preparation to be successful. Here are some steps to take to get your home sold fast. Remember the five P's. Prepare the home. Fresh coat of paint inside and out and complete any repairs needed. Professionally clean the home. A deep cleaning of floors, cabinets, windows, and blinds will leave a great impression for future buyers. Provide a home warranty for the buyer to give the buyer peace of mind after the closing. provide a closing cost allowance for the buyer to help them be able to afford your home. Price your home to sell, not sit. A comparative market analysis from a local realtor will demonstrate what other properties have sold for in your neighborhood. Well-priced homes sell faster with less hassle. Houses are selling fast and sellers are getting top dollar. For all the answers, call Bo Goodson at the Goodson Group, 221-2883 or 551-0225.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. For years, I've been asking you to call me at Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies. Did you know the current national average turn time to close on a mortgage is 48 business days? But not at Alabama Home Mortgage. At Alabama Home Mortgage, our average close time is 16 business days. That's a month faster than the rest. How do we do it? With over 60 years of combined experience in the industry, our team knows mortgages. Our years of experience yield a better experience for our customers. Folks, time is money. Whether you're looking to buy or refi, don't waste time with another mortgage company, bank, or credit union. We close on time, every time. Give Alabama Home Mortgage a call at 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com to complete an application on your time. Our fast turn time is just one difference that sets us apart from the rest. It's not just a slogan. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's Conversational Radio Show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Damning politicians uphill and down Dale for many years as rogues, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels. I sometimes suspect that, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
I got hairy legs.
Joey Clark.
Welcome into the show on a stormy, stormy Friday. I'm your host, Joey Clark. And my two friends are here, colleagues, whatever we want to call them. We have Eddie Bader. How you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing good. How you doing, bro?
And we have Craig Monger. How you doing, Craig?
I'm a bit soggy, Joey.
Yeah, you got stuck in the storm.
Yeah, I had to move a down tree. And
really?
And obviously
really?
Just the traffic in and of itself. It's one of the worst things about living in the country is when it storms, something like this is bound to happen.
What, did you have to use a winch?
No, I had to use these pythons.
Got the guns out, baby.
All right. I'm impressed. Could you kill a lion with a hug?
No. I have squishy shoes, though.
Squishy shoes.
Yeah. You know when your shoes
get
waterlogged.
Yeah.
Toe jam later on.
Yeah, it's great. So my feet are brining as we speak. Yeah.
So how's everybody doing today?
Not for a rainy day, yeah.
Just peaches and cream.
Yeah, not for a rainy day. I think you're right, Eddie. And so I didn't notice. I was blissfully unaware until I woke up this morning. Mm-hmm. What happened at the public library in Prattville yesterday, last night?
Nobody.
Were you there?
Yes, I was. I was at the board meeting. I did not make it to the library because I was unaware that there was going to be some sort of kerfuffle. But certain aspects of the media that are a bit friendlier, shall we say, to a particular side,
mm-hmm.
Seem to have gotten some sort of advance notice. And in fact, one reporter was actually allowed in the building when the library employees locked the doors. He was still inside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, so, that's not good.
No. Well, I mean, and funnily enough, when the chairman of the board, the library board, showed up to deal with the kerfuffle, he was actually having to shuffle him out and get him out. And then that's whenever the police got called because he apparently opened a door that struck someone and they cried foul or assault.
Now, this chairman, I think, is the name correct? Is it, you know the guy named Ray Bowles, Eddie?
I didn't know Ray.
Yeah, I think we know. That's the same Ray Bowles that calls into the show every day. Wow. And so this one quote here is, you know, what, police are called to the scene.
Yes.
And so here we're quoting Ray Bowles. Jacob Holmes was in the building, and I told him to get out so we could talk to the employees because they had closed the building down with him in the building.
When I went to open the door, there was a lady beside the door that I did not see, and the door hit her when I opened the door. Fortunately, both of them had recordings and called the police department. They all looked at the recordings and said, "He didn't do that maliciously. He didn't even see you. You can tell he was looking at the fat dude." So what started all of this? Why the kerfuffle? Why the hullabaloo?
Okay, so the Prattville Library Board since, I can't even remember when it was, last year, it's going on a year now that this has been drama, that your boy was the first one to write on, and it was people that were concerned about LGBTQ plus and just sexually explicit in general books. And then two sides immediately formed. There were the pro side and there was the against side. And just about every city council meeting or county commission meeting has had this addressed ever since, with people showing up to give their various sides. So the Prattville Library Board has been completely remade since that time. There's not a single original member since this whole thing started that's on the board, nor was the library director who was just fired. He came after the former director resigned at the beginning of this whole thing. So the library board has been completely remade, and they hired Laura Clark, who I believe is still heading up the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to her a few
yes,
times.
Yes, yeah, very, very nice woman, very nice lady. And so they have her as a attorney, and the board is working on getting rid of the books or relocating them or removing them. Now, the particular reporter that was mentioned here, his reporting on this situation has feigned or tried to, in almost a conspiratorial tin hat way, sort of shine a dim light on what they're doing as if there's some sort of ambiguity or chicanery in what they're doing. And it's actually kind of hard to follow because he's making connections that I just don't see.
Right.
He did a public records request for this library director, Andrew Foster, in which he delivered information from Laura Clark between the board members, which is, I believe, technically classified as privileged, attorney-client privileged information. On top of that, he was also recording executive session meetings.
Which is illegal.
Illegal.
Yeah.
And so that is why they fired him. And obviously the people that, it goes to show you what he, because it very much seems like he has been in, shall we say, cahoots with the people that want to keep the books on the shelves. As you can see from the bevy of support that came after him and these library employees that also supported him. So if you're someone who doesn't want these books in the Prattville Library, it seems like the board made the correct choice.
Right. And so after the firing, like, they went into executive session for 15 minutes, come out, we've made our decision, you know, turn in your keys, your badge, these sorts of things. And that's when certain employees decided to lock the library.
Correct. They said, "We're still showing up because this is our job, but we're locking the doors." And the video that I shared from a live stream where the employee was in tears at the door talking about how they were supporting Andrew Foster and they're not going to open up. They're going to still show up to work, but they're not going to open up the doors. Well, Ray Bowles said, "Nah." And he showed up and put the kibosh on that. And now four library employees have been fired.
Now, I was told by Ray that one is back today and actually apologized. They hugged, made up, and she has her job.
Well,
now.
God bless. That's, yeah. I mean, fair enough. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think another might have come back too, but two stay home.
They had, that. But as of last night, I think they had over 10 volunteers who were like, "We'll show up." Right. And get the thing running.
Cool. And they're putting more hours for the part-time folks, too,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. So there's the fact is it's a very, very loud gaggle of the most unimpressive people you could ever meet that are on the side of keeping the books. And in the live stream video that I showed you, you can actually hear one gentleman who's a frequent member there, just pitiful to behold. But he unironically, when this tearful woman was giving her diatribe at the door, said, "Yes, queen." Unironically.
What? He said it wasn't yes queen.
It was yes queen. Like that. And you can from my mimicking of him just now, you can develop your own impressions of him. It's just completely pitiful and unimpressive specimens that regularly attend these meetings and say whatever. And I mean, the ringleader of the Read Freely Alabama, who, you know, they found people in the media that are very friendly to them and are willing to hang on every word they have to say. If they put out a statement, I'll do it, but I'm not going to. You're sort of irrelevant to the discussion, and in fact, the leader of it, Angie Hayden, has been She's hilariously unintelligent and unerudite, but she's harassed me personally so much that I've blocked her email.
Now,
so it's preposterous.
To get back to the you know, actual source of all this.
Yeah.
What is the status of sexually explicit books, LGBTQ books there at the library?
Well, they've moved some, removed some, and they're going through the process of working through, I think it's like 113 titles that they're addressing right now.
Right.
I'm not sure what the status is of those because, again, Foster, the library director, in his communications, it seemed like he was, I don't want to say he was being obstinate, but he seemed to have been stating there was ambiguity where I didn't see that any existed. There was a lot of semantic discussions over the difference between weeding and removing and
okay.
what the process is required to remove and authorities. The problem is people are wading into an area now where the rules haven't really been needed to, haven't needed to be this clear.
Right.
Because it's some, just a library.
Some might be moved to just a different, like, adult section.
Yes.
Some might be taken out altogether.
These yeah, and again, I'm not entirely sure about what the differences are because you have people now going through these processes with a fine-tooth comb where they have never had to before. So I'm sure that in the bylaws and the rules that there may be some ambiguity. Again, I'm not clear. But it certainly seems to me to be the case that the board is, the library board is utilizing their discretionary prerogatives in an appropriate and lawful way. At least now, if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure there will be lawsuits and I'm sure that that will be settled in courts. But from my perspective, it seems that they're handling it at least within the scope of their authority, despite the fact that people are claiming otherwise.
Now, when all the hullabaloo was going down, did anybody go, shh? It's a library.
No. Again, I wasn't there. I wasn't informed that this was going to be happening. I got my information from other people that were yeah. there, Ray, obviously, and looking at the live stream and the videos. So I wasn't actually there, but it was hilarious. After they voted to fire Foster, the zoo noises that are common to come from this particular group of people were ringing out. And it's hilarious, and I talked to Ray about this. They are the most, they seem to not be aware of how utterly unthreatening they are because they try to be loud and rambunctious and like, oh, you'll be hearing from us. Ray does not care.
No.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think I told him on the phone, just don't remind me never to get on your bad side because he's formidable.
Yeah, no, he's a good friend, we'll say. Not just a good sponsor of the show, but a good friend. We've gotten to know him, and I'm not surprised by any means. And,
yeah.
I mean, Eddie, when's the last time you went to a public library?
Last time I had to pee real bad, and there was.
Really?
Yeah. When's the last time
you went? Why don't you just go outside?
Live and learn, Joey. Live and learn. A little cheaper to go to the library.
Right.
It's an odd discussion here, and I think it's relevant to the space camp discussion that I'm sure we'll get to. But there seems to be particular spaces that a lot of people weren't really paying that much attention to where people with a specific ideology have seemed to have found refuge for a long period of time. Archives is a big one.
Now, we
archives and history and libraries is another one.
Well, and let's shift to the Space Camp story because we didn't cover this every day in detail. We more got into the hypothetical. If you're that dad, if you're that parent, what do you do? And I think my main takeaway is you could call a father, particularly that one, whatever you want. The guy, I think, doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be looking out for his kid. The one thing I was wondering, though, in terms of the actual details, is the person in question, were they actually in the dorms, like in the private spaces?
I am currently setting up a discussion with someone who very quickly, under the original posting that went viral, claimed that this specific person came into the shower area of the girls to tell them to hurry up. So I'm going to be getting the details of that particular interaction. As far as Space Camp, they are on the lam. Their employees are underground as far as I'm concerned. They're not responding to communications. They're not answering questions. They're hiding out the storm.
Well, and I was told by a pretty good source that I won't disclose that the dressing, like in the bathing areas, showering areas, they all actually have individual doors.
Yeah.
So they're looking for discretion anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about kids coming from all over, of different ages, from all over the world.
Yeah.
So the idea that you actually have private bathroom showers, these sorts of things, makes sense to me. But it is an area. There's dorms. There's in that whole area. And I just would wonder, Is that sort of allegation true? That just was the one thing that wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll get more details as we're going through. We'll see. I think, you know, it's akin to, say, a college dorm that's not co-ed. Even if there's obviously private, for the most part, there's private showers. Each like dorm has its own shower. Even if it's four people to a room, that room has a shower.
Right.
Regardless of that level of privacy, anyone who's walked onto a male's college dorm room understands that there's a level of intimacy there. And there's a reason why, even though you have individual rooms, you still have male, you'll have male buildings and female buildings.
Right.
At the very, very least, you'll have male floors and female floors, which is what Space Camp does. It has individual floors based on the sexes. And there is just a level of intimacy and a level of, the word's escaping me, but you a level of modesty that does not exist
right.
when you are in a space designed specifically for your sex.
Right.
And I think that's the concern. No matter what regulations and rules you have, you shed certain social mores when you're in a female or a male only space, as anyone who's ever existed in one can tell you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the concern. If you have a biological male that's just, even if they're not technically going into the shower area, if they're spending time in that space, then there's at least the potential for impropriety.
Well, and this probably wouldn't have been an issue at all if not for all the social media postings.
Well, correct. As with most of these things,
right.
it wouldn't have been a big deal at all. But my question is because you've seen several people since, not just this woman that I'm attempting to talk to, that talk about this specific individual, but just general stories about what their kids reported when they came back from space camp. And I'm like, why has this not been addressed? And I'm actually hearing that the parents that have tried to address it with space camp leadership have essentially been brushed off.
Well, I think it's a shame at the end of the day, because I think space camp's a huge asset for the state. I have fond memories of it myself. Mm-hmm. And but you're seeing fallout, like Coleman City Schools offering 75% space camp refunds for some students after all this went down.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder what's the fallout abroad, because again, this is an international institution. You got a lot of folks from all over the country, all over the world, that show up here. So
yeah, and that's why Tommy Tuberville was the first person to say anything public. For those people who unfortunately on social media seem to think that I instigated this entire thing, my story came out after Tommy Tuberville released a statement about it, based not on any news story. I was the first news story to come out about it, because the rest of the media are gatekeeping cowards. A sitting United States senator was responding to just some guy's Facebook post that kept getting shared around. So the story was there, and it obviously required attention. Now, what can they do? I don't know, because you can't just not hire someone as it stands, simply because of their gender identity, although
that is
attempting to be addressed legislatively as we speak. Susan DeBose has a bill, for instance.
But I think, wasn't it Justice Neil Gorsuch who wrote that expanded opinion, or essentially expanded the definition of a protected class, like he read into it?
Yeah, and the thing with that SCOTUS opinion is that it says that you can't terminate the employment of someone. It does not say that you can't limit the scope of what their duties are.
Right, then it goes back to what you're publicly posting on social media.
Yeah.
For instance, I'd imagine all the crazy crap I've said on these airwaves and all the crazy stuff I've probably posted sometimes when I'm a little intoxicated, there would be parents who would have an issue with, like, I'm not letting that Joey Clark guy, like, teach my kids. So, and I kind of understand that, honestly. Like, if somebody feels that strongly about it, okay, fine.
Right.
There are standards of employment, and it's just like there's a lot more to this story. So good luck with the investigating.
I'm certainly trying.
And there's all sorts of stuff going on in the world and the country. Fannie Willis, she gets to stay on the case.
Yeah.
But Nathan Wade, he's out.
He's got his money, though, right?
I say poor guy, but I just remember seeing him getting grilled on the stand. I'm like,
dude,
oh, no.
How's he the poor guy? He got the girl and the money.
Yeah.
And he's done.
And now he doesn't have to work.
Walk away.
Yeah. It's not like he got charged with a crime.
Yeah, poor but guy. That's going to cause some problems in the old at the old dinner table. It's like, because even if tells her, like, hey, baby, I understand you got to do what you got to do, there's always going to be in the back of his mind, you chose the case over me.
And it does sound like he was constantly trying to be like, I'm the man, I'm paying for this. And then she's like, no. I'm not letting you do it. So she's been giving the cash. Mm-hmm. That's what it seemed like to me.
Cash. So he's playing his best Theon Greyjoy impression as we speak.
Oh, what an awful scene in Game of Thrones.
And this is going to make it even worse, I think.
And then we have the Politico, of all places, sounding the alarm for Democrats. There may be zero Trump trials before the election. Or it could be you get some of these, like, in October, November. Mm-hmm. But the way some of these judges now are looking at this, they're like, there are a lot of charges being kicked out, right, thrown away. Some of the Georgia case, Judge Canna, I think of the documents case, was looking and asking a lot of questions about selective prosecution yesterday. And you're also seeing continually in the polls, leave the court lawfare stuff to the side. New York Times has a story out. Latino voters are now shifting to Trump. It's true. A lot of folks are shifting to Trump. Trump, in a lot of polls, is polling 20%, which is really all you need to break a coalition with black voters, and it's usually younger black voters, black men in particular. You're seeing, I think, a cultural shift to where when Trump walks into a UFC fight in Miami, and it sounds like a 70,000-man-strong army ready to go into battle, like, that's a thing. That's a very real thing that you cannot deny no matter how corporate media spins it. And then get ready for this, folks. At least 7 states are slated to deploy ballot drop boxes. All are likely to have no excuse absentee voting. 5 are on track to have more than 2 weeks of early voting. Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina will mail out absentee ballots more than 6 weeks before Election Day. Whew, are we going to just revisit this again? My goodness.
One way or another, it's going to be the conversation.
Yep. That's
because they refuse to address it. They refuse to create common sense solutions. Right. Because even if, and we've seen this since 2020, even if there is not clear evidence of actual chicanery, the evidence for the possibility of chicanery is enough for a lot of people, and they don't seem to want to address that.
Well, who's the Texas Attorney General? Paxton?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is, to me, very credible in the sense that why would you go after him the way they went after him? Like, and every bigwig in Texas, the national backing to go after him, he survives that. Why did they go after him? Because he, I think, and he said this, I believe, in a Tucker Carlson interview, I stopped what they did in Georgia. Mm. They wanted to do the same mass mail-out voting, drop-box schemes, and he's like, hey, here's how the scheme works, is you get, what are the actual returns? All right, how many votes do we need? And we've got all these ballots just sitting here. Why was the counting stopped in the middle of the night in Georgia?
Yeah.
The water main break, all this stuff. Now, could Paxton prove that in a court? Doubtful. But given how upset everybody else was at Paxton for essentially cutting that off at the pass in Texas, it suggests there might be something like that going on. And when you look at the margins, what was it, 12,000 votes, if that?
Right. Yeah.
In Georgia? So I hate that this is the conversation. I hate that the lawfare stuff is also the conversation. It would be nice if we could just get back to, I don't know, issues and maybe a little bit of personality. Oh, and by the way, Biden came out to say today and said Chuck Schumer made a good speech on Netanyahu. Man, we can get into that, but that's just playing to the folks here at home. You could look at the Israeli war cabinet. There are people to the right of Netanyahu.
Yep.
And Benny Gantz, who they're like, oh, he'll be the next. He's on the same page, too.
Yeah.
They're not stopping. Like, and for better or for worse, they're not stopping. Now, I'm a little, well, it's war. So when you see how many civilians are dying in the middle of all this, it's just bloody awful. But
I'm on like hour 4, by the way, of the Israel-Palestine debate that Lex Fridman hosted.
I didn't get into that yet.
You didn't get into it yet? It's 5 hours long, so I've had to piecemeal it, but it's very interesting. Hey, I think it shows a lot of what happens when someone like Destiny goes against legitimate academics.
I saw one clip where the guy's reading him the riot.
Well, I mean, Finkelstein was going after him pretty hard, but it's just having going into a situation like that with people that have been in the trenches for decades, you can't learn enough in a couple years to match that level of copiousness that they have about this particular instance. But anyway, the conversation was good, and yeah, it's like I don't care how many people critique Netanyahu, he keeps getting elected.
Yep.
So Netanyahu seems to be the status quo.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't Netanyahu, say it's Gantz who gets in there, it's going to be the same exact policy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the Israelis are, and the Israeli government is on the same page despite all their fervent disagreements about other things. Crazy politics, folks. That's one of the crazy, the Knesset is just such a crazy system, parliamentary system they have there. And I just worry that if Israel goes into Rafah in a heavy-handed way, it's not just the deaths of so many, it's also... It could lead to wider war. Like, does Turkey, for instance, sit back? Does Hezbollah sit back? Can Jordan keep their people back? What about Egypt? Like, you could see something even bigger. And when you say all that, I'm not saying it will happen. You just got to consider it a possibility, like you're looking at a chessboard. With Ukraine still going on, and Macron, the French president, coming out today, doubling down on sending his troops to Ukraine. Last week, you had the Polish president saying, well, there are already NATO troops there. And, well, Biden in the State of the Union says there are no soldiers of war. Are there other types of soldiers there, Joe? Anything? Anybody? And then, of course, we could talk about how Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I want to have a four-day work week without losing any pay.
When does he work anyway?
I'm not for me personally. I have houses.
Right. When does he work anyway?
Oh, for the every day. For Hyundai.
I wanted a four-day work week. I did. And then I got a paycheck for him, and I went, oh, God. When does his overtime start back up again?
Yeah, but he wants to do that and you not lose money.
Yeah. Not going
to
happen.
In this economy, that's just genius. So there's so much to talk about today. I have a lot of weird stories. I'll just read the title of this one, the headline. 80-year-old Montana man pleads guilty to using cloning to make giant mutant bighorns.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Actually, it does sound kind of... Would you try that?
I don't know if I'd try his, but I saw them. They get pretty big racks, that's for sure. I saw a few.
Impressive racks?
Very impressive.
No. Yes. No. No. I read your mind.
Yes, yes, very yes. Impressive. We'll be right back.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Luxury car prices and payments have hit an all-time high. But at Lexus of Montgomery, we have every new Lexus model in stock with low APR financing to save you thousands. Right now, take advantage of as low as 3.99% APR financing on your favorite new Lexus. You don't have to pay more to get the luxury vehicle you want. Pay less at Lexus of Montgomery. You deserve to drive a Lexus from Lexus of Montgomery.
Financing up to 36 months is $29.52 per 1,000 finance. With approved credit, ends 4/1/24.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper, and you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
Ahoy there, landlubbers! Is your stomach yearning for some great seafood? Or maybe it's a meat and three you're craving?
So set sail for Little Fish Tail Seafood Bar and Grill, the undisputed champion of deliciousness in Lake Jordan and Slapout. We're talking great food, fantastic drinks, and fabulous music. They're like pirates with spices, creating flavor combinations that'll make your taste buds do a jig. Go see them on Lakewood Road or call 543-4561. Don't forget a free grab bag for the little ones.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
Hello, I'm Johnny Sullivan from Sinclair's Restaurant. We're almost 27 years, and our business is as good as ever, and I give credit to Blue Water Broadcasting for keeping us on the air and letting people know what we do. Advertising with them has been a huge help to our business. I've seen an uptick from day one. If you need to grow your business, I highly recommend you give them a call.
Radio works. It's as simple as that. Call us to find out how radio can work for your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Earnest Financial.
If you're tired of losing your money in the stock market, call David Earnest, 334-279-7431. Earnest Financial, LLC.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. With a frontal system approaching, we've got an increasing chance of rain and thunderstorms again today from time to time. Some of the storms strong, possibly severe, especially this afternoon and this evening. Today's high in the upper 70s. The rain will end in the overnight hours tonight. Tonight's low 61. On Saturday, the rain chances are very small during the daytime hours. Saturday's high in the mid-70s. Then another round of scattered showers from time to time on Sunday with a high near 70. Much cooler by Monday. In fact, we could see some patchy frost late Monday night into early Tuesday with lows in the mid-30s. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Thank you once again for voting ASE the best credit union and best mortgage company in Central Alabama's Reader's Choice Awards. We're honored to serve our members for 69 years and counting.
ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. I'm yours, Joey Clark. Both Eddie Bader and Craig Monger in the studio here. And before we get into what Bernie Sanders wants to do for workers, this part of the program brought to you by River Region Contracting. I'm sitting here wondering, what all these small businesses that support the show, wonder what all the owners, like Todd Clark there at River Region Contracting, what would he think of this idea by Bernie Sanders? Or anybody that runs a local small business think of that idea? Even folks that are very generous to their employees, it's almost like a family in some settings, but...
When I was in my 20s, I thought it was a great idea.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, then you realize, oh, wait a minute, debt does not allow this to happen.
But they're at River Region Contracting. They're the premier roofing contractor here in the area, and they understand that owning a home is one of your most expensive and long-term investments, and a big part of your home is that roof of yours, especially on a day like this. Mm-hmm. With all this rain coming down, that roof better be jammed up and jelly tight.
Yeah, buddy.
So whether you have an asphalt or a metal roof, it should be inspected every 3 to 5 years for basic preventative maintenance. Eddie and I have been suggesting do it like once a year.
I would.
Because here's the great news at River Region Contracting, their inspections and estimates are always free.
Always, Joey.
And they show up on time. The estimates are accurate. They don't leave a big mess behind after they get the job done.
Yep.
In fact, if they find another problem, they understand how the insurance claims process works. They're insurance specialists.
Yep.
And so they're going to try to understand the whole warp and woof of the problem before they start going through that claims process. And they can make it easy and swift for you, which is not normally what happens with insurance claims. So again, whether it's an asphalt or a metal roof, you need it inspected to make sure that you're doing basic preventative maintenance to save you money and make sure, well, again, your home is tightened up. Give them a call today, 356-8635. That's 356-8635. And be sure to tell Todd Clark and the team there that Joey and Eddie and throwing Craig from the radio show sent you. Now, here's what Bernie is proposing. This is from NBC News. Y'all remember what Adam Sandler said NBC stands for?
No, I do not.
No, I don't.
Here, let me mute these. Yeah, right. I had to mute that for a second. But Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont held a hearing Thursday on a bill he introduced to reduce the standard U.S. work week to 4 days without loss of pay. Yeah, because the work week's the way it is because somebody on high just decided it, right?
Mm.
Give me a break. The bill, titled the 32-Hour Work Week Act, that's original, would reduce the standard work week from 40 to 32 hours over the span of 4 years, including lowering the maximum hours required for overtime compensation for non-exempt employees. It would also require overtime pay at time and a half for work days that last more than 8 hours, and overtime pay that would pay workers double their regular pay if their work day is longer than 12 hours.
Hey, as a worker that was working hours like that, sure.
Yeah, yeah, but the companies that I've worked for, the decent ones, they already had that up. So go work for a company that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Well, and the companies that do suck, if you impose these standards, I don't think they're going to last.
Yeah.
And people are then out of a job.
They'll head south.
Yeah, when I work, I'm telling you, because first of all, just there's sometimes when you're a grown man that you have to work longer than 8 hours. Yeah. And this really does only apply to hourly workers. If you're salaried, you kind of just work as much as you work.
Hello.
But if you're working hourly, like when I worked for Crosby, for instance, that was the setup. If you worked over a specific amount of hours, it was an hour and a half. Yeah. It was time and a half. And if you worked over 12, then it was double time.
Double time on Sundays.
On the day. Regardless of how many time you work, if that was only one day that I worked, and I worked a 20-hour day, which did happen, especially when we had to go to
Florida. I was working 12-hour shifts at the Fun Zone. They never gave me over, not even pay and a half.
How old were you?
17.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. How skilled were you?
17, 18. Damn. I was a game tech and a DJ, mind you. I worked my way up. I had to work the bumper cars. I had to work the jump play. I had to work the rock wall and the roller coaster simulator.
The ball pit.
I cleaned the balls.
Oof. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's not fun.
I'd hate to see.
You
got to
collect them in the mesh nets, and then you go spray them outside with disinfectants.
You fill it with water and boil it, and then drain the water and be done.
Now, my friend and I—he was my roommate all through college. After the fact, but like that was so frustrating of an experience cleaning the ball pit. We literally got in a fight.
Did you ever find anything like I would imagine you'd find in the ball pit? Just like disgusting.
Like a bag of weed?
No. Didn't find any skunk.
An old turd?
No, I remember this pretty vividly. I'm working the bumper cars, and right next to the bumper car station is the big soft play. Like the thing you see at McDonald's, but it was huge, like oversized at Fun Zone. And this adorable little girl, she must have been like 7, if that. Mister? Yeah? I think somebody pooped in there. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah. And so I go, and just at the threshold of the tube to climb into the soft play, I didn't even have to go inside. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was it just sort of resting on top like Legolas on the snow?
Exactly. And so it was like, Orlando to the soft play. Clean up in the soft play. And that was just one instance.
Why are the balls always greasy? That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. Well, people are oily. People are greasy.
Yeah, but not that greasy.
Yeah, and then you add the pizza that we'd serve.
That's true.
Those trash cans had a funk, man.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And kids, too. They just stink.
Yeah. Dude, I thought that the stinky kids thing came, like, a little bit closer to puberty.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
My almost 3-year-old boy, when he comes and plays outside, he smells like a bag full of old pennies.
Yeah. Well, imagine having to strap a bunch of kids into the rock wall harness.
Yeah.
And they're nervous. They're sweating. Yeah. No deodorant. Probably hadn't bathed in two, 3 days.
Well, I mean, how old do you have? Well, see, that's the question I'm wondering. It's like, how old is my child going to be when I have to start having the deodorant conversation? I thought that was going to be like 12, 13.
I think it's because of the way things are going, I'm going 7, 8, maybe 9. Plus, he plays sports.
Well, he is a boy's boy. He climbs trees. He just likes to wallow in dirt. He loves to go outside and play with things. And he comes back inside and he's just like, bro, you smell like a grown man.
Outdoor shower.
He has to get a shower every day. Like, it's you know, there's not a single day that he doesn't go outside.
Right.
But I was just shocked. The new things you learn as a parent of young children is the age that they start to stink, and it's quite early.
So, back to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, so sorry.
Yeah, I could tell Fun Zone stories all day. That was a fun place to work. And then Parks and Rec was a fun place to work, too, in the summer.
Is Fun Zone, by the way, that's like Chuck E. Cheese, but not?
It's like mostly a roller rink.
Okay.
So, there is a big roller skating rink and a pretty sizable arcade, kitchen, and the soft play. Like, yeah. So, by the time I advanced, it really was a sweet gig. I'd just play music in the DJ booth, and they would occasionally page me to, like, hey, go to the skee ball machine. The ticket, dispenser's jammed, and you just pull tickets out.
They gave kids tickets.
No, there was this one time, okay, you're going to get me to tell another story, where it's jammed, Joey to the, the skee ball machine, and it's this kid is probably like 10, and I'm like, oh, man, and he's like, I got a really high score on this. I deserve a lot of tickets. So I was being generous. I unjammed it, and then I ran off, like, triple the tickets he was supposed to get.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, go buy yourself some tchotchkes that nobody needs. He got mad. He goes, no, I want my tickets.
Oh.
I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, these are your tickets. You can have them.
Yeah.
No, my tickets. I'm like, the ones that are all crumpled up? You want the one that got stuck? And to find it, I was like, and this is Joey maybe as a parent, like, okay, you get no tickets.
No tickets.
And the mom came up all mad, and I explained to her, and he goes, oh, man, we're out of here.
No ticket.
Like, yeah.
No, that's very Joey-like.
No
tickets for you.
I was about to say, here, you get triple the tickets. And then he didn't want it. Kids these days. Anyway, Bernie wants this 32-hour week because the financial gains from the major advancements in AI, automation, and new tech must benefit the working class, not just corporate CEOs and wealthy stockholders on Wall Street. Okay, I guess I agree, Bernie. How about we end the Fed then? Can we actually do a structural reform
and not
continually add more restrictions on freedom that's only going to make the problem worse? That said, Bernie had a run-in, I believe, with a Fox reporter.
Mm-hmm.
What's the blonde one's name?
At Fox?
The blonde one?
Yeah, anyway, here's this exchange. It's, in those Senate office hallways.
Yeah.
Let's listen in.
Can I talk to you about the 32-hour work week?
Sure.
It seems like Fox Business.
Yeah.
It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their
really?
Workers.
Really? Is that what you think?
pay their workers.
Excuse me.
I didn't get to ask a question.
Okay, thank you.
Senator,
you want to hold it? Okay. We held a hearing on a 32-hour work week because what we have seen is that over the last 50 years, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, almost all of the new wealth has gone to the top 1%, while 60% of the people living paycheck to paycheck.
Why? Why, Bernie?
Yeah.
Wait, and he said worker productivity. Doesn't that mean you can do more with less workers, number one?
Yes.
Because of machines and all that stuff? Yeah. It's amazing, like, auto manufacturing really has what it used to be compared to what it is now. It's remarkable. But then it's like, why? Like, why is all that money going to the top 1%? Does that have something to do with we're mostly the financialization of the economy, where people are making money out of creating money out of thin air?
Well, I think the bigger question isn't why does a certain amount of money go to the 1%. I'm perfectly fine with that. The question is, why are 60% of people living paycheck to paycheck?
Right.
And
yep.
The answer for that is because you guys have systemically screwed us for decades.
Correct. Yes.
Predatory credit card interest rates that you've allowed to happen.
Predatory interest rate lending
in general.
Thank you.
Inflation, brought that up exactly. Food costs, the cost of everything. The fact that our insurance and healthcare models are so corrupt that it is laughable that Stalin would blush to see what we've allowed to happen through state-sanctioned entities.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that it costs people an exorbitant amount of money to exist because of the restrictions or lack thereof and the loopholes that you have allowed to go on for decades and decades. And now we are reaping the whirlwind of that because inflation is so insane. We're funding foreign wars, our economy. Blows, food costs too much, everything costs too much. And yeah, that's not going to be solved by a 32-hour work week where you impose certain payment requirements on employers. It's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work at all. But that's what they always do. They break your leg and then they say, oh, let me give you a crutch.
Yeah.
Because the rich are getting, like Bernie, how about you do some major structural things?
It's not even that. They break your leg and then they give you a neck brace.
That's more
You're
like
welcome.
It.
Yeah, and then teach your children that daddy couldn't walk without the government's help in the first place.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. But he came in a little hot with this blonde hair.
Yeah, he was like Sig Heiling right in her face there
like,
for a second.
Hold on. Oh,
right. You broads are getting too lippy these days.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we would have smacked you for not making the lasagna right.
He does remind me of Larry David.
He does.
Very much. Like, I love Larry David, but let's keep going here.
Many of our people are exhausted. We work the longest hours of any people in the industrialized world. I think it's time for a shortened work week.
Could I ask you a question about that? It seems like Democrats want businesses to be taxed more, pay their workers more, lower prices, people not to work.
You know what I would like to see?
How are businesses going to survive that? That's the question. How can businesses survive all of those proposals?
When Mr. Bezos pays an effective tax rate lower than the average worker, I think we have a real problem in our tax system. I think that billionaires have got to start paying their fair share of taxes. Thank you.
That was Senator Bernie Sanders.
She's not blonde.
Yeah, well, I like the brunettes on Fox. The blonde, you can have them.
That's so 2010.
Mm. Which ones do you not like on Fox? Which ones do you not like?
Not like?
Yeah, there's...
Not a fan of Martha McCallum. And it's not a looks thing.
Really?
It's the vibe.
I couldn't name at site of any TV journalist that's not named Rachel Maddow, and that's only because I see her in my nightmares.
Unfortunately, that is one. 100%.
But man, Bernie getting a little unhinged there.
I think he's had a long day.
Yeah.
And,
been 4 hours?
Well, no, I mean, okay, I will say this. Obviously, Bernie's politics are garbage, but I think he might be one of like five principal people
in that building.
So he at least has my respect at being consistently principled throughout his tenure. Now, he obviously sort of capitulated on several things. The Hillary Clinton campaign. He's not a Ron Paul.
Correct.
But as far as, especially for Democratic lawmakers, I would say he's 100% the most principled one up there. I mean, he capitulated on Yemen, the war in Yemen, I think, what was that, 2 years ago, whenever he didn't fight for his resolution that would have stopped our funding of the destruction of the Houthis and the starvation of the Houthis at that time, which now everyone knows who the Houthis are, but they didn't then, which is why nobody cared. But yeah, he's one of the more principled people, and so he has a bit more respect from me because of that. But
I think that's fair.
I think he works pretty hard because he is one of the only principled people on the left in that ensanguined building.
Well, and what we need is the complete polar opposite of Bernie. And completely, a lot of these Republicans, like you listen to these establishment Republicans, like Alabama's senators often, most of our congressmen, other than Barry Moore.
Yeah.
You listen to everybody say, represents Alabama, Terry Sewell's this way too. It's all about how do we like get these big corporations with special deals, especially military contractors come in and provide jobs. It's all this sort of top-down managed. It's like an oligarchy, essentially, with political pull and privileges. What we need is not Bernie socialism. We don't need more corporatism from the Republicans. What we need is essentially a Javier Milei for the United States.
Yeah, we need a flamethrower. That's what we need.
Vivek was offering it. I hope he gets Trump's ear. I don't care if he's VP or not, but I hope he gets Trump's ear on some of the big structural stuff he wanted to do.
Again, Trump.
Who knows?
Trump didn't. He had the chance. He had every chance to go in there with a guillotine, with a hatchet, and start cutting these programs, and he did no such thing. I have zero reason to believe he'll do it again. We don't need what we had in 2016. We need something completely new, and I think the appetite for something completely new is higher than it's ever been. But the fact is, there's nobody that's going to be allowed to get thrown on the GOP ticket other than Trump because of the level of political persecution. So we're stuck with what we're stuck with in 2024, but I think in another 4 years, I think there's going to be...
Hopefully.
Very interesting. Although, I swear, is Donald Trump, if he keeps losing, is he just going to keep running?
Well, you know, he ran before he ever won, so...
Well, time is eventually going to run out on him.
Well, yeah.
He ain't getting any younger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he does look like himself still. Like, you can go watch old Trump speeches. Mm-hmm. Trump is still Trump, whereas Biden is melting.
Literally.
Yeah.
When he tried to answer some questions last night, and the
Oh, and his staff moved the press out quickly?
Yeah. Get the hell out of here.
Again, the man is sick.
Pull the fire alarm.
The man is not old. The man is sick.
Right.
You know, it should be uncontroversial to point that out. He is obviously unwell. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if he were a different person, if he hadn't been a scumbag for decades, I would feel sorry for him. I do not feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for the fact that our country is run by a deteriorating amoeba, essentially. Mm-hmm. Who's told what to say and can barely do that.
He's like the perfect epitome. Like, just put all the establishment into one guy, it's kind of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And you can see his sins on his face. Well, they tried to stretch some out, but that's not the same thing as true repentance, Joe.
Well, remember Feinstein or Feinstein?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're being wheeled in there,
right,
essentially looking like George Bush Sr. towards the end. You shouldn't be in charge of running a monopoly game, much less a Senate district.
Right.
And they don't care because there's someone else pushing the buttons, and there always has been.
Right. Right. And I hope more Americans are waking up to this. You happen to read the op-ed I put out this week?
The Katy Britt one?
Yeah.
I did indeed.
Okay. So that's what I mean, is leaving Senator Britt aside. When I saw that Boston Tea Party reenactment, like, their kids having fun. I'm like, okay, that's charming. They're learning history. But it did make me genuinely laugh. My buddy Sean and I were like, look how quick they pull those things back up. And it's like, eventually Americans are going to have to get their tea wet again. Because it seems like this upcoming election, so much of what we do in politics, it's just like a cheap imitation of what is actually needed. And this is a crude example, but it's kind of like what porn is to actual sex. Like, it's virtual, it's cheap, it's not good for you. And I feel like our politics has become that.
Of course.
We're in charge because my guy won. I'm like, do you really feel in charge right now over anything that's really screwing you over and affecting your life? Back to our conversation about how systemic problems continue to get worse, and then most of the proposed solutions really aren't much of a solution?
No, the solutions always tend to be very lackluster and a tool for lawmakers, both state and federal, to come out there and proclaim to stupid people, hey, look at all this great stuff that we did. And it's always benign, it's always banal, it's always useless, and it's never as virile as you would expect a legitimate solution to be, because these people don't want solutions.
Yep.
They're trying to get as much silver as they can off the Titanic until the feds or someone else, some foreign country, is going to have to bail us out of this mess that we're continuously creating.
Yeah, they just like to manage, and I think we have way too many managers and not enough visionaries.
Yep.
And, I'd watched in this hour, I watched a little bit of a flagrant podcast this week. Can't even remember the guy's name, but he's former CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating. Like, he described what his experience was being there and how it works. And I didn't completely believe him on a lot of stuff, but the...
Like, he's no longer CIA?
Right. No, and Schultz was giving him hell about that.
Yeah,
it's like, no, you would be a perfect asset to come on shows like this and sell...
Is he the long-haired dude?
Yeah.
Okay, everyday spy or something like that?
Right. And he's trying to come up with a book, but my biggest takeaway wasn't all the inside information about the farm and, you know, their psychological techniques. Like, nobody's heard of neuro-linguistic programming before. Give me a break. He said, me and the wife are leaving the country. I'm like, why? Like, because it's about to get real bad. Like, this generational problem, this systemic problem and rot, it's going to give here in the next few years. And we'd rather be out of the country. And now if the U.S. comes back, makes it through this crucible, we'll come back.
Yeah.
But when a guy like that, with that sort of inside information, working for the agency, is like, I'm getting the hell out of this place. That should give you a little bit of pause, folks.
It's akin to what happened in 2009. These people were just... They were getting it while the getting was good, until it collapsed very quickly. And luckily for them, luckily for Wall Street, the federal government was there to pick up the tab.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when what happens to Wall Street happens to the federal government?
Ooh,
what do you do then?
Well, we got to hit our top of the hour break. But first, this part of the program brought to you by Montgomery Men's Health. And there at Montgomery Men's Health, they can help you fellas out, especially if you're getting a little older. You know, things start to happen, like bedroom issues, like erectile dysfunction. Low testosterone is also a huge underlying problem. You know, and it's something that does happen as you get older, but a lot of guys want to keep that edge. They want to keep that energy, motivation, and drive, including their sex drive.